Father, I thank you, Lord. Always we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, we ask that our light will shine into our hearts this morning and give us understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, why is understanding so important? We've talked about it the last couple of days. You know, we talked about the season of blessing and how to understand it and the principles to make it happen. Well, the last of the principles that I gave, we did a review yesterday. It was actually 15 that I laid out. The last one that I laid out, I called it, well, treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You know, if you were taking notes, and because that's what God promised, Isaiah 45 and 3. And we're going to spring into that today. Now, we've also talked about increase. One of them was also increase. You know, as a matter of fact, the last few principles that I gave, number 13 was, it was your father's good, it's the father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And number 14 was, God has promised you and your children increase. And number 15 was, well, God has promised you hidden riches, you know, treasures of darkness and hidden riches. You know, so I want to talk about those things briefly. But today I'm going to kind of ease into this because this is a, this is uncharted territory for many. And, you know, it's a deep subject. Okay. So if you are ready for some meat, well, then come along on this ride. If you are looking for milk, I don't think so. Not in this one. But, you know, first, I want you to know that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What does the kingdom look like? We've talked about that before. Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed unto me. Well, I don't think the kingdom of God is, broke. I don't think the kingdom of God is full of illnesses and sicknesses, you know, and I don't think the kingdom of God is impoverished. So, you know, what are the things that God has promised? Well, we also talked about increase. Increase. Increase for you and your children, according to Psalm 115 and verse 14. What does increase look like? Well, let me say this right away. Our God is the God of increase. Do you believe? Now, that's a question here. You know, from the beginning, we see how God was a God of increase. You know, all the things that he created, he put the ability and the capacity inside of them to increase and to multiply. You know, he spoke to the seed. He said, let the earth bring forth seed bearing fruit within itself. You know, put the increase right there. Spoke to the sea to bring forth increase, bring forth different things. Spoke to the animals that he created to bring forth after its kind. Put the increase inside of it. Put the increase inside everything. You know, and then, of course, the man that he created in his image, he put the increase. He put a mandate upon them for increase. He said, be fruitful and multiply. That's increase. You know, so, I mean, God is a God of increase. You know, that's the subtitle of this one. This lesson is going to be so vast. I'm going to have to break it up into pieces. You know, you will see that I titled it right away as part one because you just can't do it in one lesson. I don't know how long it's going to take. But today, first, I want to talk about the God of increase, the subtitle for this one. But because this lesson is called Emerge, or this series, it's not a lesson. This series is Emerge, and it's called The Treasures of Darkness and Hidden Riches of Secret Places. You know, the title of the room itself was not long enough to hold all of that, so I abbreviated it. But here is the text where that is taken from, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. It's actually verse 3, but I want to read, you know, a few verses there to give us some context on this lesson here. Now, there are some other things that we will reveal by the grace of God. So just, you know, stay in the spirit. Let me remind you the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, you know, I've told us many times in this room that when you are hearing the word of God, there is a realm in which you must engage in order for it to have any meaning. If you don't engage in that particular realm, it's not going to work. So Jesus said this, laid this out, this principle in John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. So the words that I speak, he said, they are spirit and they are life. So these words of God, they are spirit and life, but the flesh profits nothing. In other words, you can't understand it in the flesh. It also means that, you know, being physically present does not give you an advantage. Unless you engage in the spirit. I've often said that many times. Now, this series is the kind in which I need to say that again, because, you know, I haven't said that for a while because we've just been dealing on some things which were probably easy, you know, but we're going to some things which may be harder to chew on. So I've got to tell it to you again that, look, you must be in the spirit in order to be able to, you know, understand. You have to engage in the spirit. When I do say things like this, I often like to, you know, talk about what happened in the beginning, some of the stories that Adam told all the generations that came along. He told it to all of them, but they did not engage in the spirit. They didn't get anything out of it. I just probably said, oh, you know, what a wonderful message. And then they moved along. Oh, wonderful story, actually, they would say. And then they moved along. And the other ones come in there, say, ask him, you know, and he told them stories of all the things that happened up to that point. And, they said, oh, that's a wonderful story, Grandpa. And they moved on. At best, that's all they all did. Until one guy came along, was called Enoch. You know, and he heard the same stories that everybody else before him, you know, six generations before him heard those stories. Now, when he came along, number seven, he heard the same stories. But he was able to engage in the spirit. And he said, wow, you know, you mean you could do all those things and we can't have them anymore? And you mean the secret of God was with you? You understood knowledge like nobody else? I mean, you knew everything. You could name the animals. You could talk to them. I mean, you could do all these things. I mean, you mean you could do all of that? I said, wow. You know, how do we get back there? Son, I'm sorry, that place is closed. You can't go in there. Well, that's the same story that everybody else heard. But this one man, you know, he's going to engage in the spirit beyond the flesh. He's going to figure something out. Something sparked inside of him. Okay, I believe that there like that. But let me say to you this way, the treasures of darkness that the Lord is talking about here in Isaiah 45. I'm going to go back and read it, or go to it and read it. And the hidden riches of secret places, which for a long time I've wanted to do or teach on this lesson, but I couldn't do it. But the Lord said, you can't do it. You know, it's not time, but it is time now, because the Lord said we are in the season. So the last couple of days we've been talking about that season. So I believe it's appropriate now. I believe I have a release of the Holy Spirit to bring this at this time. Isaiah 45, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. Now listen, Cyrus, as of this point in time, as far as we know, you know, was not even, you know, of the godly seed. But yet, the Lord said, he's anointed. I have chosen Cyrus, and I have held up, I'm holding up his hand. I'm going to subdue nations under him and loose the loins of kings. So we're going to be talking about that. Open before him the two leaf gates. We're going to talk about that. The gates shall not be shut. We're going to talk about that. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. And I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now, this thing here was first spoken exactly like this to this man here. Well, yet, you know, when David was recounting all of the goodness of the Lord, you know, he was talking about it. He said, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercies. He had broken the gates of brass, cut asunder, you know, bars of iron. He was talking about the same thing. But the Lord, he said, it's point blank to this man, Cyrus here. Now, like I said, you know, these are the people, the kingdoms of the world, one after the other, that rule the world. Even sometimes, you know, they took nations into captivity. Some of them actually took Jerusalem, Judah, and so forth into captivity. But here's the Lord speaking to this Cyrus. He said, I will give you even the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. So that's where that comes from. Why? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now, this man probably didn't know who the God of Israel was. God's going to show it to him. You know, and so on and so forth. And he said, look, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and even my elect, you know, what God is doing or wanted to do through Cyrus was not for Cyrus. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this. What he wanted to do, why he raised Cyrus up and put his hand upon him and anointed him, was not for Cyrus. He said, look, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, for their sakes, I have even called thee by thy name. You know, so the Lord put something upon Cyrus, not exactly for Cyrus, but for Jacob and for Israel. He said, you know, I have surnamed thee, even though thou hast not known me. So you see, he wasn't even of the godly seed. He was somebody who didn't even know the Lord, yet the Lord had picked him. And what was the reason? Well, the reason is, you know, for the benefit of the children of the kingdom. So there was a group of people called Jacob and Israel. They were children. They were the chosen seed, you know, And God said, like, look, I put you in place. There's some things that I'm going to do through you, but it's not really for you. It's for Jacob, my servant's sake, and it's for Israel, my elect. Hallelujah. I am the Lord. He told him, and there is none else. So I'm going to introduce himself now. There is no God beside me. You know, I guarded thee, even though thou hast not known me. See? Now, if you think about that, there's a lot of, you know, Bible say God sets up kings and brings down rulers and does all these things. He pulls one up. I mean, he takes one up, sets one up, pulls down the other. He maketh alive. He killeth, does all these things. There's nothing, you know, that you can put outside of him. You know, but sometimes when God set people up, they don't recognize that it come from the Lord. I mean, you saw the story of Nebuchadnezzar. So this man also, the Lord telling me, I'm the one that raised you up. You don't know me, but I raised you up. I've got a plan, you know. You know, even though you have not known me, that, you know, what I'm going to do through you, you know, people will know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So he told him. Now, notice here, let me just digress a little bit. Notice here, he didn't say, I create the light. Because God is light. You can't create light. There's a difference here. You know, can create the darkness, but you can't create light. God is light. I form the light and create darkness. And you don't tell this man some deep things. Which the man is like, whoa, slow down now. You know, because there's a lot of things that the Lord is going to tell him. Okay, that will come in handy later on as we go deeper into this series. But I wanted to introduce that to you to say that, look, God can handpick and use anybody for his glory and for his own purpose, whether they know him or not, you know. And God has a way that he can turn and shift things around. Now, the story of Israel that we were doing, there's a reason why the Lord brought these things the way they did. You know, there for this, you know, there's something that God is fixing to do. It's in his mind all along. You know, you can see in the story of the children of Israel. First, there had to be, you know, the deliverance. Had to come there, you know. The deliverance. That's why we did the Exodus series. All right. And after the Exodus series, we're talking right now in here of a shift. So there has to be a shift, or you might call it a transfer of wealth. You see that that actually happened, you know, as they were getting out of Egypt. The Lord made them rob the Egyptians basically as back payment for all of the time that the Egyptians pummeled them. They got all their silver and gold and God set them up. There was no way they would have given them anything without those plagues. You know, and God brought all those plagues upon them. They were willing to thrust out the children of Israel, give them anything just to get rid of them. Well, that's how the scripture says he brought them out with silver and gold. A transfer of wealth. So that's, you know, these things are in stages. What God's doing at the end here. First, the deliverance. Getting people out of the captivity of negativity wherever they are. Get them out of there. The Exodus, you know. The focus, though, is not the wilderness, but the promised land. And in the process of that, there must be some transfer of wealth, some shifting. And lastly, there's going to be a rebuilding or restoration of the ruins. The Lord said in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, he said, he gave an incredible prophecy, which also was repeated in Acts chapter 15. But this is how he said it in Amos chapter 9 talked about, you know, the ruins that he will restore. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day, what day? Will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close off the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as of in the days of old, that they may possess. See, again, see how he's doing it. Possess the remnant of Edom and all of the heathen, even which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Now, there is something, the reason that God is doing whatever he's doing now is beyond what we might think. It's not just so you can have money to pay your bills. It's not just so, you know, you can have food to eat. I mean, God cares about all those things, and he will give you all those things. You know, it's way beyond that. So, but we're going to take this lesson slowly so that people can comprehend it, because it's really deep, you know, to understand it. Well, let's look at what James said in Acts chapter 15, referring to this same prophecy of Amos, but how he brought it out in a slightly different way. And after they held their peace, you know what I mean? You know, of course, you know, there was a debate of, you know, what should we do? You know, the Gentiles, should they keep the, you know, covenant of, you know, circumcision and all these things and so on. So they were talking about it. And James, in Acts chapter 15, verse 13, said, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simeon," or Simon, "had declared unto us how God at the first did visit the Gentiles." You know how, you know, he went through the house of Cornelius and all of that. "To take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written." So he's going to quote Amos now. "After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." Now, I see the way he brings it out now. "That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and even all the Gentiles upon whom my name is named, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now, the spirit of prophecy is deep. You know, it can take the word of the Lord that God is saying, and it can expand it. And he expanding it here and showing us the reason why the Lord said what he said in Amos chapter 9. You know, someday when you have time, put these two scriptures side by side. I don't have time to do that today. And then see the difference, the similarities, and also the difference, the expansion, you know, of what the Holy Spirit said. But this is the last phase of what God is doing. The first phase is, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." That's number one. Number two, well, there's going to be a shift, a shifting in the wealth, a shifting in the resources. Resources are here, they're just in the wrong hands. And then number three, there's going to be a rebuilding. See, a restoration of the tabernacle of praise. You know, that has broken down, and God has to restore it. It's coming in pieces. Now, during the last phase, you know, there's something that will happen. It's something that God has promised. You know, farmers, they need the former and the latter rain. And the Lord talked about it. You know, talked about former and the latter rain. In James chapter 5, he talks about this shift that is coming and why it is necessary and what we must do. You know, so again, these are all just preamble. Just want to give you some of these things that we're going to get into, but we're going to get into them in greater detail later. But let me read to you James chapter 5. And he said, go to now, ye, you know, rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is canker. And the rust of them shall be as a witness against you. Eat up your flesh as though it were fire. You know, you have heaped up, this is the part, you have heaped up treasure together for the last days. Huh? Okay. Behold the hire of the laborers. You know, now, the wealthy people have tormented the rest of the people. They lorded it over. In fact, there are laws that are made in America to favor the rich more than the poor many times. And, you know, he said, look, these laborers who have reaped your fields, you've kept back their wages by fraud. Remember story of Laban and Jacob, you know, and all of these things. Now they're crying out, and the cries of them are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And you've lived in treasure on the earth. You've been wanton, nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You condemned, you killed the just, you've done all of these things, and so forth. But the just shall live by their faith. Now, he's going to turn around and talk to the just. They'll say, be patient now, just hang in there. Hang in there. Something that is coming, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. At the end, the coming of the Lord is in stages. This is what we are talking about. The coming of the Lord is in stages. You know, first, the people can come out, you know, they come out of servitude. It's part of the coming of the Lord. Coming out of servitude. We're going to go, God said, come out of there and come and meet me here. You know, and well, you know, coming out of there, we've talked about that series. It's something, but you're coming out with something. But you are going somewhere. You know, we're not going to die in the wilderness like those people did. Now, during this process of the coming of the Lord, he said, look, even the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, has long patience for it, till he receive the early and latter rain. Something must happen. You know, be patient, therefore, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. You know, something must happen. The early and the latter rain. He talked about it in this same Amos chapter 9 that we were reading. Let's just read a little further. We read verse 11. I'm going to read verse 13. Show you how God will bring the early and the latter rain together in this thing. In order to rebuild these ruins, has to do it this way. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. This is Amos chapter 9, verse 13. That the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Hallelujah. You know, so the planting rain and the harvest rain, the plowman needs the planting rain. The reaper, they need the harvest rain. But the days are coming, saith the Lord. You know, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, overtake him that soweth the seed. You know, and God will just bring it together. It's going to happen so rapidly. Coming together. The mountains shall drop sweet wine. The hills shall melt. And I will bring again captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build. All of this is for them to build. And the Lord said, come build with me. You know, so we got to build some. Remember, we talked about when God brings you into rest, that's where you can build. You know, there's a reason for all of those lessons. You know, there's a rest that God must bring us into in order for us to be able to build. All that God is doing, they have to build the old waste places. They have to rebuild the vineyards and all of these things. You know, this is prophetic. Even though it was for Israel at the time, It's prophetic, you know, because even James was referring and quoting it, you know, later on. So why are we saying all these things? Well, even the prophet Joel, he promised, he said something in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. He promised something, you know, he said, look, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for they're giving you the former rain moderately, right? But now it will cause down for you, to come down for you the rain, former and latter rain, together in the first month. You know, in 1 month, the planting, normally it takes months apart. You know, the planting season, many months, 8, 9, or several months apart before the harvesting season. But he's going to bring everything together in 1 month. You know, when he starts, he will finish it also. And, you know, the planting, you know, it's like when you're planting and you're harvesting, the planting will be overtaking the harvest at the same time. You know, and the harvest, as soon as those cycles are going, there's more coming. It's all happening together. I can't get into it too much today, but I will later on. But I want to just lay that picture now. It, you know, may be hard for some to see all of that, but this is just an introduction of what's coming in this series. Now, the treasure that the wealth are laying up, I mean, the wealth that the sinners are laying up, according to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, there's a reason why they're laying it up. Well, it's going to be laid up, the scripture says, for the just at the end. And now, a good man himself, you know, this Bible verse says, a good man, you know, will do something. There's something that a good man does. Well, you know, and if the Lord is the good man of the house, well, what was he doing too? You know, because this is what a good man does. A good man layeth an inheritance for his children's children. Well, the Lord has a way that he has been putting things away. It may be in the hands of the wrong people now, but he being the good man, you know, he's been laying it up for children's children. It's called generational blessings that God's putting into play. And the interest is building. It's like when you put money away, Jesus told the story. He said, look, to the wicked servant that wouldn't do anything, say, well, you only gave me one talent, so I just buried it. And Jesus said, well, you know, the master said, you should have put my money to usury. You know, that's gain. You put it out there, gain over time. So there's stuff that God's been putting out there, building interest. He's been building interest, been building interest. Everything that the fathers have been doing, that lay the foundation, say we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. All these things have been laid down and they're building interest, they're building interest, they're building interest. It's like the prayers that are stored in the golden vials. And someday, there will be a release. Now, there is a release coming. You see? And, you know, it's hard for people to understand it, but it's coming. And this release is just around the corner. It's been piling up, laying it up for generations to come. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner, see, the wealth of the wicked, laid up for the just. And these scriptures will be fulfilled. Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. You know, so it may not look like that now, but it is happening. They're laying it up. Egypt laying it up, they were amassing all those gold and silver and so forth, and they tormented the people of God for hundreds of years. And finally, all of that transferred back to the children of God. You know, so they've been laying it up. Did you know that there were seven nations? Seven nations, you can read it in Joshua chapter 24. Seven nations that were preparing the promised land for Egypt, I mean for Israel. Seven nations. You know, they prepared it, they did this, they did that, and so forth. And God allowed them to do all those things, you know. And they, at the end of the day, God's going to kick them out and cause the children of Israel to come in there and inherit. He'll send hornets, he'll send this, he'll send that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be to the people of God. So listen to this. You know, he said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 12, he called out, you know, verses 11 and 12, he called out the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. You know, they prepared the place, they did all that. You know, and then eventually God kicked them out, and Israel came in and took it over. Praise God. But not all of them took it over. See? That's right. There is always a defining moment and a separating hour. Even though the Lord said, go out into the highways and the byways and bring everybody in, the halt, the maimed, the this and the that, so that my house may be filled, because my supper is set. And the people who I first invited rejected the offer. So go and get everybody. Well, get everybody, yes. But when they came in, one of them was not in the right garment. You know, that was still wrong. You still see. So, you know, even though God is doing this thing, it didn't quite work out for many of them. He brought them out, he told to take them in. But many of them, it did not work out for them because they did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. You know, so the same way today, these things that God is doing, it's there. But if you can read the story of the wedding garment in Matthew chapter 22. You know, everybody, their family came in, but this one, you know, wasn't right. So it got cast out. Now what God is doing, and these people came out of Egypt, they're going in, but they didn't all go in. But some of them went in. A new generation went in. And I believe that this generation that we're in now, there's an overlap. There's an overlap. Those of us who believed from the old generation, you know, were just a couple of them, Caleb and Joshua. But they represented the old generation that came out of Egypt. And there's a new generation that's coming out, you know, and they will go in. Praise God. So I believe, you know, I believe that my generation was part of the old generation, but God has also reserved a few of us to believe that we go in with the new generation and go in. You know, so we are right here. Praise the Lord. Now, all these things that God is doing, there's a reason why he's doing it. And there's a reason why I'm explaining it to you now so that we can have this understanding. Because there are some things that God does not reveal to everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, all of that I have said was a preamble. Let me now tell you this. There are things, the secrets that God does not reveal to everybody. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord. So there are some secret things, ladies and gentlemen, that belong unto the Lord. Now, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, so that we may do the words of this law. Now, what are the secret things? Well, we'll get into some of them if the Lord permits. But what are some of the things that are revealed? Well, let's look at Psalm 25 and verse 14. In Psalm 25 verse 14, and here are some of the hidden riches. Here are some of the treasures. You know, it's dark because the eyes of the understanding of people are dark, so they can't see it, but it's there. You know, and it's also dark because it's in the wrong hands. So the treasures of darkness means multiple things. One, it's in the wrong system at the moment, but also it means that it's hidden, it's covered. You know, it's not in the light. Jesus said, look, When men's works are evil, they do not like to come into the light. They do it in the dark. So we see that that represents evil. But Psalm 25 tells you that the secret of the Lord, Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And why? You have to finish reading that verse. You can't just read that part of it. You have to read all of it. What does it say? What is the reason? Well, he will show them his covenant. Now, the way for us to get the secret of the Lord, and we're going to do a prayer at the end of this room. The way for us to understand the secret of the Lord is to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't get anything without the fear of the Lord. You know, once you understand the fear of the Lord, you know, I said, look, we're going to pray that the fear of the Lord, to understand the fear of the Lord, I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon this one. And, you know, there will be an anointing upon him to have a quickening of an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 was talking about it, you know, that there will be an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Now, once we understand it, many things are coming. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might. So what God's bringing upon you, Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him to be quick and understanding the fear of the Lord. Now, so this Isaiah 11 is so important for us today. This is prophetic, you know, of what the Lord is doing. There's a rod that's coming out of the stem of Jesse. And it's called a branch with a capital B. And it's the Lord God Almighty, as you know, in the Christ. And that Christ, being that he is the firstborn among many, being that he is the blueprint, so that, you know, through him might bring many sons unto glory, right? Yeah. Making the firstborn among many. We see that what rested upon him will also rest upon us. The Lord said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that those whom he foreknew, well, there's a process to it. He foreknew them before the beginning, but he also made sure that he got a hold of them. He called them. And when he called them, there's this process. Just read the process of what he said about them. Those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate them that they will be conformed to the image of his son. They'll be just like the Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the purpose was that Christ will be like the blueprint. Everybody else will be just like him. And the target, the destination, that's why I say predestined. Their destination is to be like that Christ. They become the image. They be just like the Christ. That's our destination. God foreknew us. God is doing it. We'll be just like the Christ. And he will be the first among the brethren. You know, he will not be the only, but he will be the first. And there are many others that are coming. I and the sons, the children that you have given me for signs and wonders. Jesus declared that, you know, and so coming. But he said when he predestined them, he also called them. And when he called them, he also justified them. And when he does justify them, he also glorified them. The glory that I had with you from the beginning, John 17 and 22, I have given unto them. You know, and this glory is what we will reveal in this series. Now, it's a deep subject. There are many, it's like a web. There are so many parts of it. But can you untangle it? Oh, by the Spirit of God. You can untangle all of these things. Now, there is a secret that is known unto God. You know, James talked about it. Known unto God, that's in Acts chapter 15, are his doings from the beginning. It's known unto God. Now, he may choose to reveal it. That's up to him. And may not choose to reveal it. In fact, you know, there was a mystery, you know, that was known unto God from the beginning, that the Gentiles will come in. you know, and God didn't reveal it. So the Jews thought they were the only one. Well, God had other plans. And so for a long time, they thought they were the only one. You know, but this mystery was hidden for a long time. And when God began to show it even to Peter in Acts chapter 10, Peter said, oh, no. Those things are unclean. And God said, look, don't call anything unclean that God has sanctified. God had to show him that vision 3 times. Finally, he went down to the house of Cornelius. And God said, oh, that's the reason why God was showing me, that vision and that trance that I saw 3 times. And, you know, he's now began to figure it out. Say, oh, wow. You know, and now he's going to understand that there is a plan. Hallelujah. There's a plan. Listen to this. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This mystery has been kept secret. You know, it's hidden and tucked away in secret places since the world began, but is now made manifest. Glory to God. By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Part of this mystery is that how that the Gentiles will be part of the inheritance. The first couple of chapters of Ephesians explains it. That the Gentiles must come in. Well, and there's other mysteries too. But this is kept with God. And somehow God will begin to show it. Now, there are some things we have to declare for ourselves through understanding. And that's where this lesson we get into. All of this today is a preamble for us to try to understand these things. Some things we have to describe and explain. And then once you understand, you begin to decree it for yourself. You know, Psalm said in Psalm 16 and verse 11, he said, look, the Lord will show me the path of life. You know, so it means then that the path of life is hidden. If God has to show it, I mean, if it's in plain view, there's no reason to show it. You can just see it by yourself. But, you know, it's not as open as it would seem. You know, it's secret. It's with them that fear the Lord. And that's where the fullness of joy is at. You know, read it in Psalm 16 and verse 11, how he put it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You know, God is the one that can reveal it. And when you get in there, you'll figure out the fullness of joy. Ooh-hoo. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There was something that is hidden. God had to show it to him. And he's declaring it for himself, that the Lord will show it to him. Now, these are some things we must declare for ourselves. In fact, God invited Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, he said, look, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which you don't know. You know, now, some of us, many of us, actually, were satisfied with just these things. You know, which is we go to church, we sing a few choruses, and so forth. We go to work, we earn money, we pay some bills, we struggle to pay bills at times even. We lose our job, we do this and that. And this is all, you know, that we're just consumed with these things. We don't understand the greater purpose of life, you know, and we can't even find that life. Jesus said, look for the straight and narrow gate, but there are a few that will find it. This other one, millions are rushing into it. But this one here, Sammy said, you will show it to me, the path of life. Well, why? is there? Why is it hidden? Well, it is hidden because that's what God wanted to do. Hide it and reveal it. Thou art verily a God that hideth thyself. The Lord will hide himself. You know, it's like, you know, playing hide and seek. He says, seek ye the Lord. Well, if the things of the Lord are in open view that everybody can find, then there's no need to seek anything. You know. So, but the Lord will hide himself so that we must seek him. He's a God that hideth himself. And when he will reveal himself, Isaiah 45, that same Isaiah 45 that we read, later on he said in verse 15, verily thou art a God that hideth thyself. Well, there are some things that are couched inside God, and he hides it. And when he hides it, well, he will reveal it to those who have learned the fear of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Well, let's talk about some of these secrets, which we will come into in this lesson. In the book of Job, chapter 38, we begin to learn of some of these secrets. These are treasures that are hidden, you know, that, you know, people can't just figure out. And so God began to challenge Job. And by God challenging Job with these things, we actually begin to understand that, my goodness, there are actually some things that are hidden here that we may know nothing about. And God said, look, you think you have knowledge? Well, gird up your loins now as a man and let me ask of you, do you know these things? Do you understand these things? And God began to reveal some things and ask him things. You know, ask him a lot of things. Do you know these things? Well, here's a good one that I like. Verse 33 of Job chapter 8. Said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Do you know it? I mean, can you put some things in place in the heavenlies that will cause influence upon the earth? Can you do it? Well, by God asking Job these questions, we actually find out that, yes, it's actually possible to do these things. The things that happen upon the earth, they are governed in the heavenlies by the decree of the holy watchers. And if our ways please the Lord, and we walk with God, he might reveal to us some of these secrets, the path of life. He revealed it to Enoch. And everybody has said, we are waiting to die. God said, in the day that you eat of it, you would die. And so Adam said, we are waiting to die. Enoch said, well, but you are not dead yet. Say, yeah, but we are waiting to die. But God already said, you are going to die. So that's all. They were just waiting to die. But God revealed to Enoch the path of life. Hallelujah. And he figured it out. Now, because he walked with God. And so we must walk with God in order for us to figure these things out. Now, you know, there are some chickens and some swallows or sparrows or these things, you know, they can only roost. Some of them can't even fly. And some of them, you know, some sparrows can only fly and perch upon the rooftops and so forth. That's all they can do. But there are the eagles, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the chickens, they can only roost. Some of them can't even fly very hardly, maybe 1 foot above the earth. That's all they can fly. You know, sparrows can go a little higher, you know, land on the rooftops and so on. But eagles, my goodness, you know, so where is it going to be for you? Are you going to be like the chickens that are just roosting? You know, do you know how the chicken look for food? They're scratching the ground, looking for something. Scratch, 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 scratch. That's how they look for food. You know, sparrows, yeah, maybe a little higher. But eagles, my goodness, are different. So the things that we're going to be getting into now, well, they are not for chickens. They are not even hardly for sparrows. They're for eagles. Hallelujah. And where the meat is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Where the carcass is, where the kill is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. Now, we're going to find out who the eagles are when we start to reveal these things. When Jesus started to talk about some deep things, he took a step back to see who of them were eagles. He said, will you also go away? Because, you know, all the chickens and all the sparrows, you know, they started to go away. So Jesus said, well, will you also go away? And Peter said, where are we going? You have the words of eternal life. Well, that's the eagles. The eagles of God, they will recognize these things are the words of eternal life, that the path of life. And they want more. The chickens, they say, what's he talking about? Because they can only scratch. That's all. Scratch, scratch, scratch for these. That's what the chickens can do. Can't get anything else. You know, so this is not for chickens, ladies and gentlemen. Not even hardly for sparrows. It's for eagles. Oh, glory to God. Now, lastly for today, because this is more like an introduction, I wanted to put a little out here, drop a little, here a little, there a little. It's kind of like a, well, a teaser or whatever. You know, just put various things out here and see, you know, who might want some more, you know. Now, the deep will call unto the deep. The moment that God sees that you are understanding, he will give you more. To him that hath shall more be given. But he that hath not, even the little he has, shall be taken from him. You know, so the moment you begin to have understanding of these things, then that deep is going to draw out more. And the Lord will reveal more to us. But if we don't have any understanding, then, you know, we will get nothing. Even the little we have, the devil will come and pluck it away. Now, there are people that God will use, you know, to create the shift. They may not even be believers. They've been stocking it up. But just like Cyrus, God raised him up. He didn't even know God. God said, you don't even know me. But God was going to use him to make a tremendous order, you know, that even Darius and all of them later on would search things out in the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, when they were trying to build and people were not letting them build and so forth. You know, they reported to the king, other party reported to the king, don't let these people do this thing. It will be to the damage of the kings. And the other people said, look, we were given commandment and so forth. So a search was made. Darius said, well, let's search be made and let it be searched out in the Chronicles and see if it was so. They searched in the Chronicles and they found a place where Cyrus, this same Cyrus that God had talked about, had given commandment. Woo-hoo. He gave commandment. You know, he said, look, you know, who is it that's among you, you know, that feareth the Lord his God? Let him be strong and let him return and build. Hallelujah. God raised him up for that purpose. And he commanded the treasures, let treasure be given to them out of the king's treasure. You know, bring all these things, give it to them, you know, and don't let anybody stop them. Commanded, you know. Governor across the river and all these things, you know. So this is what God is going to do at the end. Now, the people that are going to do it, they don't know it yet, you know. But God is revealing it to some people of what's going to happen. And if the Lord allows, we may drop a few things here and there in this lesson. We can't say too much, but let me read this to you. Ezra chapter 6, verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon, see? And I was found at Achmetha, in the palace and the province of Medes, arose. And therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus made decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded. The place where they offer sacrifice, let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. And he gave even commandments of the measurements and so forth. You know, and he said, look, and let there be expenses given out of the king's house. That's right. This is the transfer of wealth now. For what purpose? To build the temple, to restore the ruins and the tabernacles. Now, this is not a physical temple at the end of the age, but it's something that God is building, you know. And said, let the golden vessels and the silver from the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took, you know, let them be restored. And I brought again into the temple, which at Jerusalem, you know, and so forth. And he told them, you know. And when they found out, they said, wow, my goodness. He said, look, let this work of the house of God alone. You know, Darius told them. He told Tatna, the governor. I told everybody, you know. I make therefore a decree that you shall do to the elders of these Jews what you will do to them. Or the building of the house of God, that of the king's goods, even the tribute beyond the river, all these things that we've gathered for years, transfer it over now. Let there forthwith be expenses given to these men, that they be not hindered. Hallelujah. You ever think that that can happen in this age? Well, these people never thought it could happen, but it did. Glory to God. The wealth of the unjust and the wicked and the systems that they are piled up, laid up for the just so that they may build. There's something that we need to build, you know, at the end. It's not some physical building, not what somebody is going to call, you know, some mega church building and so on. None of that. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about souls. We're talking about let righteous in this same Isaiah 45. Where God was commissioning this man, you know, here is the purpose of all of it. There is the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect. The spiritual aspect of it is given in verse 8 of Isaiah 45. And this is where we will be going in this series. There's the physical aspect to help us get there. But the real spiritual aspect of all that God is doing is found in Isaiah 45. And verse 8. And if you read it for yourself, it says, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. You know, I, the Lord, have created it. There is coming an ingathering. An outpouring of righteousness. It doesn't look like it now. But how in the world do you think that the vision that John saw in Revelation chapter 7, how is it going to come to pass? Because in Revelation chapter 7, he said, I saw as far as the eye could see the sons of the sea. I mean, that could not be numbered. People that came out of every nation. You know, now, the nations of the world today, they've turned their backs against the wall. I mean, against the Lord. Even America, you know, has turned its back against the wall. You know, we're getting more and more wicked leaders springing up to do wickedness that will hate the Lord to his face. But they can do all of that. But I can tell you the end of the book. The end of the book, as I often said, you know, in the days when I was young and I used to read novels. When I picked up a novel, the first thing I'll go to the epilogue, which is at the end, and try to see how it ended. And then I try to put the pieces together in my head, even before I read the story. You know, so the way it is going to end, regardless of what the devil is doing now, righteousness is going to drop down. Hallelujah. And God is going to bring, he said, look, as far as the eyes could see. They came out of great tribulation nonetheless. And they have washed their tribe, their robes, and they are before the throne. And my goodness, what is the number of them? Well, he said, I saw a great multitude, Revelation 7 and verse 9, which no man could number. No man could number it, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Now, you want to be a part of building this thing that will be like no man can number? Oh, yeah. God's raising up an army to do it. First, the spirit and the anointing of Cyrus. You know, coming to lay these thought foundations, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Huh. He's going to do it too. And he will do it, and he will bring people from all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues, and they will stand before the throne. Now, how in the world is this vision going to be fulfilled if this is not going to happen? It will happen. Praise God. And blessed are your eyes that see and your ears that hear these things, saith the Lord. For there have been many prophets and kings and righteous men that wanted to know this, and even angels desired to look into them. To them it wasn't given, but to you it is given. Well, to some it was given, but they were not worthy. So they died in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, let us not die in the wilderness. The prayer we are going to pray today, as we close this lesson, is the Lord should show me the path of life. I want us to pray that God will grant you the hunger. See, God is the one that grants anything. You can't. God's the one that grants salvation. God's the one that grants repentance. God's the one that grants faith. God's the one that's going to grant you understanding. God is the one that's going to grant you this hunger and thirst. Jesus said, blessed are they. But you can't do it unless God gives it to you. You know, God is the one. You know, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 tells you, anything that we even want to do or think about doing, for us to even desire to do it, you know, it comes from God. He said, you know, it is God that maketh us both to want to do it and even actually to do it. So our prayer today is going to be that God will grant us understanding as we go through this series to know and his covenant. That's right. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them the covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he doesn't need anybody. This is not you making a covenant with God. This is God making his covenant. And, you know, he made it. Hallelujah. And he's going to do it. You know, and he will show us that covenant. May the Lord give us that grace. So we're going to pray right now. As God invited Jeremiah, call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things. Well, we're going to pray for a desire to want to know the great and mighty things. You know, some people don't, they say, well, it's above my head, or they don't care about these things. They're like chicken. They're just roosting on the ground. That's all they are. This message is not for the chickens. We're speaking to the eagles of God now. If there are any eagles in the house, well, let them rise up. You know, because the eagles mount up with wings. Hallelujah. They're not chicken, they're roosting on the ground. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to first pray over the room. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. You know, that God will begin to open our understanding. All these messages and all these teachings that we have been doing, you know, God has been leading up to this. And I've been asking the Lord, is it time? And I struggle with it, whether it's time or not. I have to ask, you know, do I have permission? Will God release these things at this time? You know, and, you know, sometimes he'll say, well, you know, open your mouth and I will feel it. And you will speak my words. You know, but I can't go beyond his words. You know, I can only say so much. If you say too much before the time, you will create a problem. So you could just say a little bit here and there. Well, Father, I pray for your people as we're getting into this now. We can't, you know, we can't hold back anymore. The Lord said it's time. The fire was in my bones, Jeremiah said. You know, the war is like a fire. I can't hold, you know. Elisha, he said, look, how shall I wait? The word of the Lord is here. You know, he said, look, by this time tomorrow, and he began to reveal, said, the word of God is, you know, I mean, I can't hold anymore. Lord, we've held our peace for long, but now the Lord said it is time. And this is beyond, give me bread, give me my rent, give me this, give me that. This is for us to understand the secret of the Lord, the secret things of the Lord, what he is now revealing. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, said the Lord, when he shall begin to sound, Revelation 10 and 7, the secret of the Lord shall be finished. He's going to do it. Now he's sounding. Here a little, there a little. Come, build with me, saith the Lord. And the message is out, you know, but how many people receive it? So, Lord, I pray that you grant us first repentance from dead works. You know, many of us are, you know, just dead works. That's all we do. May the Lord grant us repentance from dead works. I'm not going anywhere. You know, and grant us understanding, Lord. Grant us the grace. Grant us the light and shine from your word. Open our eyes to see. He said, Jesus said, ask of me, I saw. Now anoint your eyes to see. But Lord, anoint our ears also to hear. Let us not be like those that heard, you know, but did not understand. Let us not be like those that see and did not perceive. But let us be like those that understand. Jesus said, have you now understood these things? I pray, Lord, for everyone that's in this room, let there be a hunger and a stirring up, a motivation, you know, a spiritual reawakening, an awareness, a hunger, you know, and a longing, you know, for the things of God. Not roosting in the ground like chickens or flying high like eagles. Father, we love you. And we thank you. I give the Lord the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.